from the Savage Studios, this is the Savage Empire with your host, Mike Trainer.
This is indeed the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Good to be back. Good to have you back. Quick turnaround here. I told you I'd be back if the Yankees made news, and news they did make. I was all set to go to bed last night. You know, night's winding down, getting ready for work the next morning, and, you know, just watching TV, refreshing my Twitter feed, kind of falling asleep on the couch, and then, boom, the Yankees made a trade. And controversial, to put it lightly, I guess. But the Yankees traded Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela to the Minnesota Twins for Josh Donaldson and his $50 million contract coming with him. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, I'm sure I'm butchering that, and Ben Rortvedt. I think I might have gotten that one right. Who knows? Anyway, so Donaldson brings over a little bit of a history. He does have an edge, and it's an edge the Yankees desperately need. But we were hoping to get that with, you know, a Correa. But what this move signifies is that they're making short-term moves now in order to field a competitive team, because you can't call this a World Series team right now, and I believe there's more moves coming. But the main point is they're telling you shortstop is Peraza or Volpe's job to win or lose. One of those two will be our shortstop of the future, and possibly the other guy will have to transition to another position. Now, they already have Volpe taking some reps at second base. Not sure if Peraza has been taking reps anywhere else. I saw him play in double A last year, and the kid can rake, and he plays a pretty good defense too. You know, I believe him to be the real deal, but what do I know? Volpe seems to be the guy that they believe is the next superstar, and they obviously wouldn't trade him to Olsen, who got traded to Atlanta Braves today. And basically Atlanta did what the Yankees wouldn't do. That was trade four of their top 10 picks or 14 picks. I heard, or 14 picks, four of their top 14 best players, excuse me, to Oakland. The Yankees were not going to give up Volpe. That was a no. Apparently it was Volpe, Dominguez, Austin Wells, and somebody else. The Yankees were like, no, that's an overpay. Now, do I believe that's an overpay? I do. Most of you people out there are like, you should have done it. Now, I believe that some prospects need to be untouchable, but, you know, this is a win-now window. So either way, you know, it comes down to what Cashman wanted. And for Cashman, that's too much. Now, you can always apply a Yankee tax to everything. Basically, any kind of trade for a team's best player either has to come with a salary dump, and I'm not even talking about this trade. This trade makes no sense to me. Did they shore up their defense a little bit better at short? Yes. It's better than Glaber, because they actually have a real shortstop now. And although, I don't know, technically, he's a utility guy. He's a good bench guy if in case they want to actually go out and get a shortstop still. But, you know, it comes down to money. But Donaldson's defense at third, I guess, is good. But he's 36 years old. I mean, what do you want out of him? And he gets hurt. So DJ is going to become more important there. But if we move Glaber, which is what a lot of people think is going to happen, then DJ's at second base. So what are we doing here? Something has to give. So to make room for these guys, because they were at 41 players on the 40-man, they had to move Britton to the 60-day DL. He wasn't going to pitch this year anyway, as he's recovering from Tommy John. So where does this leave us? because Olsen, which, you know, first base is our biggest need right now. If they shored up shortstop like Cashman thinks they did, then first base is our biggest need. And Olsen got traded to Atlanta. So we, you know, that puts our eyes on Freddie Freeman or Anthony Rizzo. Now, personally, they're the same age. I'd rather have Freeman, who is still hitting like one of the best first basemen in baseball, while Rizzo is starting to decline a little bit. Now, it's going to be cheaper and less years to bring back Rizzo. You know, 2 or 3 years ought to do it. 4 if you have to. But if my guess is, if you want to go 4, then I'd rather go 5 or 6 for Freeman, who is showing no signs of slowing down. And it might, and all it's going to cost you is money. So I don't understand what they're doing. But, you know, as I'm listening to the K show earlier today, and then on Twitter, there was reports that Toronto is going heavy on Freeman. What the fuck is going on? When does Toronto become a destination team now? Yeah, they got a good young core. But honestly, if you had the option to go play for Toronto or the Yankees, you would pick the Yankees, right? You know you're going to get paid good, and it's a team that always has a chance to win. Now, is Toronto going to be one of those teams? They look like it, but we'll see. And then the Dodgers are still in it. Now, the Dodgers are the Dodgers, and, you know, they don't care. They're just going to throw money at shit. I'm actually surprised the Mets haven't jumped into this yet to sign him because, you know, Cohen can fucking just be like, hey, write down a number and years on a fucking piece of paper, and it's yours. We'll draw up the contract. Nobody can compete with that. But the Yankees have this imaginary budget in their head. And they reset the tax threshold, by the way. And it got raised. So, you know. But they're still the poverty Yankees. Because they think that they can be too creative. And we're the smartest team in the room. And I'm going to make trades and I'm going to find your team's shit or, you know, players that we deem workable, you know, because it worked with Gio. But meanwhile, we haven't won anything and you're fucking around and good players are off the board. You're not going to go after Cray. You're not going to go after Story. What's next? Right? Because it's going to cost way too much money and, you know, and you're holding it for the kids, which I get if they were ready this year. Now, Peraza might end up being ready this year. He's probably going to be in AAA. But Volpe is just getting to AA. And it's going to take him a bit. He may, you know, if he dominates, he may get, you know, shot up through the ranks. And then maybe we see him at the end of the year. But that's at the end of the year. Unless tragedy strikes, you know, and there's major injuries across the board. I don't see him getting called up anytime earlier than that. So, you know, I get it, but I don't get it. Because you can sign better players and move them around if you have to. Or move the kids around if you have to. You know, we got Tim LeCastro back as our what? Our backup center fielder? I mean, come on. What are we doing? Unless you're going to give a real look at Florial, then, you know, what are we doing? Because it's going to be the inevitable fucking Gardner comes back for a year with another year option that they'll have to buy him out of and then give him more money. The guy's been fleecing the team for fucking years now with just being bought out and then signing another bullshit contract and then being bought out. Has to fucking end. It's like an abusive relationship. So, you know, we need depth. And I'm not sold on the Higashioka and Rorvit as our catching combo. They're going to split lefty-righties. I mean, come on. They kind of have to upgrade. So that leads me to believe that they're not done. So what are they going to do? Because I think they absolutely have to move Luke Voit. Because if they bring back Rizzo, he's immediately the starting first baseman. That's just the way it goes. And then where's Voit going to play? He could DH, but then that means Stanton has to play in the outfield more, which means Judge would have to sit or Joey Gallo would have to sit. And I believe me, I want to see Stanton play more. And they can do a nice rotation with those three guys. You know, whoever's not playing. But that's what the DH spot's going to be for. And they freed that up by getting rid of Gary, too, who would take, you know, some every now and then. Is this team slightly better than it was last year? Yes. Defensively, yes. Offensively, I don't know. I don't know. It's a lot of ifs. It's a lot of ifs. I really don't know. But let's get back to Donaldson.
Yeah, I called Garrett last night, you know, to give him a heads up in advance, just, you know, because of how, you know, the public side of this thing played out last year. And so, you know, I owed him that phone call, which I provided that phone call. And, you know, just explained, obviously, hey, we've got a transaction that's going to solve a lot of areas of need and but not sure where this other aspect sits. And, but if it is an issue, it's, you know, it's something we'll have to work through. And he's like, I'll be fine, you know, you know, he's excited about the opportunity to upgrade, in a lot of areas. And, you know, I'm sorry to see certain guys go, clearly, because you have relationships that get built, but at the same time, you know, everybody's hoping for what the new additions can bring. So
that was Cashman talking about how he gave Garrett Cole a call before they got Donaldson, which is kind of funny at the same time. But, I mean, I like it because Cole really has become the leader of the team. And I know you want to say Judge is, but Cole has that bulldog mentality that I wish the rest of the team had. And, you know, also, what's going to happen with Judge? He's coming up on his free agency. Now, we're going to have all year to talk about it. I'm sure they're going to look to extend him, but I don't know right now. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So, here's Cashman on Gary.
Passionate. It was not a phone call I was looking forward to making last night. You know, I've been with Gary from the start. You know, I flew down into Boca Chica to authorize his signing bonus and watch him work out in front of us. He had just left the Mets camp, which was across the street from our camp. He worked out for us, and I wouldn't let him out of our camp. Essentially, I was like, "Hey, we are agreeing to this right now." You know, this guy, I and our scouts believed, you know, had a chance to be an impact player in the major leagues, and he's been that. He's got love of this franchise and passion. He grew up in this place. He cares a great deal, So when I had to make the phone call, let Gary know that we were trading him to another organization. You're never comfortable telling most of the players that, but some guys, it's a little bit more difficult than others. And since he's been part of our family from the start, it makes it even that much more difficult when you trace the connections all the way back and watching him, compete, right from the beginning, struggle early in the minor leagues, overcome adversity. Have a lot of people bet against him, whether he, because of the size he was as a catcher, whatever he would ever be that player at the big league level, then eventually climb the ladder, a lot of offensive candidate categories in our history of catching position, which is something to be proud of. To ultimately, eventually, you know, what happens in most cases, you know, the players is they move from one franchise to another. It wasn't a call I was looking forward to. I like Gary a lot personally. We've invested a lot of time and effort and, you know, in him, and he has in us, and all he's ever wanted to do and all we've ever wanted to do is win as many games as we could together. And he, you know, certainly helped us in that category quite often. And so, it's his free agent walk year. Wouldn't be surprised, obviously, if he puts down an all-star caliber performance out there in Minnesota, because he's certainly capable of that. And I, you know, wish him well, other than when he's playing against us. So, but it was a tough call to make.
So, I actually believe him, Cashman, because you can tell there has been times where they've stuck with Gary for way too long. And believe me, they've tried so hard to fix everything that just went wrong with him. You know, the hitting, how he just, it became abysmal. His defense went to shit. And then they, you know, they brought in coaches and, you know, even though I never agreed with the one knee bullshit and the whole framing crap, I felt that actually took away from his defense. And I guess ultimately we were proven right, but it just got to be too much. The fans were on him, and you know, at times I'll admit, I'm not going to lie. And it felt like they had to get rid of him because it, like Cash just said, it was his walk year. So, you know, you're not going to, you know, sign him long-term and spend a lot of money on him if he isn't the man of the future, if he isn't the guy. So I get trading him. He had to go. I think most people are happy that he went. The return is, I think, is what really bothers us here. It's not what we, you know, this, we're not making trades here so far to put us over the top. And we'll talk about maybe something in a little bit, but it's just, it's kind of crazy. But here's Aaron Boone talking about it.
Aaron, how are you better today?
Ooh. You know, first of all, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, express, first of all, my gratitude and my respect for Gio and Gary and, you know, what we've been through the last few years together, the ups and the downs. Just being in the trenches with people you care about. So yesterday in a lot of ways is a little bittersweet, you know, when you're saying goodbye to people you really care about. And, you know, I certainly wish them well. But really excited about what we brought back. And I think it just, you know, completes our roster a little bit better. You know, obviously, you know, getting a shortstop, you know, Isaiah is somebody that I've you know, personally really looked at with I really like his game. And he's somebody that I've had a lot of respect for just in his short career and seeing him transition to a major league shortstop. You know, we feel like we're getting a real premium defender and a guy that, you know, can provide really good offense and speed and the ability to steal a base, you know, down at the bottom of our order. So excited to have him. Ben, we feel really excited about. You know, really athletic guy behind the plate, really good back there. Feel like can potentially form a really good tandem with Higgy and you know, obviously as a left-handed hitter, complements Higgy in that way as well. And then Josh coming over, you know, obviously his resume speaks for itself. And, you know, we saw firsthand last year, this guy's still a really, really good player. You know, I think as good a year as he had last year, you know, I think, you know, you scrape it back a little. He was probably even a little better offensively than the final numbers suggested. I thought, and I think what gets overlooked is still how good of a third baseman defensively that he is. So, and I think he brings a competitiveness and an edge to our team that, you know, we'll welcome and looking forward to seeing it play out now on the field.
So there's that word again, edge. And, I mean, honestly, if that's what he brings, then great, you know? They do need an edge. They need to be unlikable because, they've been everybody's friend. And, you know, it makes the rivalries kind of a joke, to be honest. Everybody's a friend. I mean, I get it. The Union made it that way. Everybody's a brother. But, I mean, I don't know. They need to be tough. They need to be showing the other teams that they can't be pushed around, that they're not going to be fucked around with. Because, you know, other teams don't fear us and the other teams don't respect us. They were, you know, they beat up on us and they just ram it down our throat. And then, like, you know, that's the way it is. We take it. So I don't get it. But here's Garrett Cole talking about him and Donaldson.
It was a
conversations like, and how do you actually approach this?
Yeah, it's actually not all that uncommon for him to fill me in on stuff before it hits the wire. There's probably a little extra reason why he reached out specifically last night. But, I mean, look, if you're committed to winning a championship, this kind of stuff doesn't matter.
Is there anything that needed to be squared away?
Yeah, we did talk. I don't think there was anything that needed to really be squared away. I think just a little bit of listening from both sides and getting to know a new teammate.
Did you get anything out of that conversation that you could get to hear?
I thought it was a productive conversation for sure. So as far as like the specifics, I'll just leave it at it. It was a good combo.
So basically Cole says, I told him what's up. He'll bend the knee. But yeah, and then Boone's talking about who's the starting first baseman. It's Luke Voit right now. He said Luke Voit, but he said Gio yesterday was our starting shortstop. So if I'm Luke Voit, maybe it's maybe I don't fucking unpack. Keep all my shit in my bag and just, you know, take stuff out of it as needed. There was a video of Gary being interviewed, and people were, you know, he said he's mad that he didn't, you know, he shaved his beard before he showed up to camp, and that he would have loved to have kept it. But, you know, that's just funny. Obviously, he's a little bit pissed. I'm sure him and Gio are probably a little bit hurt, which is to be expected. I mean, nobody ever wants to be traded. But, you know, it's... They did say they were not going to bring this team back the way it was. And because of the lockout, you know, everything right now is getting done kind of at an unfair rate because, you know, if the lockout wasn't 99 days long, this shit would have been done already. This team would be set. We'd be playing opening day in a week, you know, instead. They're cramming everything, free agency and spring training all at once. So people are showing up to camp in their team shit and then packing it up and then going to another team. And it's not really fair. And it's sad. But that's the business side of the game. So, you know, what are we going to do? Because we got to make this team better and there's still moves to make. Now, this comes on the heels today of the Reds having what it seems to be a fire sale. So the Mariners got Jesse Winkler and Eugenio Suarez from them, which is, you know, just trying to get rid of good players. But there is somebody on there that we can use. And we were talking about this guy last year, and you know who it is. And maybe this becomes a good deal that can be worked out for both sides. Now, Luis Castillo would be somebody I think the Yankees would love to get, and I hope they are talking to the Reds right now as I talk. And here's the rub. You give us Luis Castillo, we'll give you you know, a couple good prospects, but we're not giving you our best. But we will gladly take Joey Votto off of your team and his contract. It looks like he makes $25 million. Not sure on the years that he has left. Looks like 2 years. So I'm guessing 25 annually. So another $50 million, it looks like. They already traded Sonny Gray. This is one of the owners that I guess you can't call a billionaire owner. I think I read this on one of the episodes. This owner is only worth like $500 million. So he's half a billionaire. So, you know, poor guy. He obviously can't afford a baseball team. It's crazy. So, Joey Votto would probably fit in here. He could still play good defense. He's a little bit older. But at this time, it'll work out for us. And in a sense, he's another edge guy. So, him and, you know, imagine having him and Donaldson. That's, you know, those two guys you don't want to piss off on this team. So, I would kind of like it. And he would crush with this short porch. He's obviously a lefty, but he would crush. And if I'm Cashman, I'm saying, we'll take Luis Castillo and we're going to, you know, but we will also take Joey Votto. And this is what we'll give you. And if it's, you know, Luke Voit or Glaber, you know, maybe Glaber and a prospect or a couple prospects. Or, you know, Voit and a couple prospects, maybe a higher end prospects, you know, because one of those two guys is leaving. That's for sure. DJ's not going anywhere. Glaber, I mean, I don't know what to think about him. I don't want to see him go, but he lost his power. And I think, you know, playing shortstop last year kind of lost his confidence. I don't know if he's going to get that back. I hope he can. Now, if he's here, great. If they have to move him and he ends up being good somewhere else, then I'm fine with it. Maybe New York wasn't, you know, good enough for him. Maybe things went to shit when Didi left, but Didi was at the end. And, you know, you can't bring people back that are way past their prime. You know, like somebody else. But I think the move to make would be bringing in a Votto. Now, looks like they have Mike Moustakas on that team too. When did that happen? I don't know. I must be forgetting that. I'd take Moustakas too, but Votto, I think, would be the better get because obviously his salary, but if it's an easier way to get Castillo. So maybe that's the move the Yankees can make. And that instantly makes them a better team. Now, I'm sure there's a debate to be made. Who's better, Rizzo or Votto? Obviously, Freeman, I would take over both of them. But as the minutes go by, it looks like the Freeman deal ain't going to happen. Now, if it does, great. You know, I'm happy as shit. But like I said, I don't think they're going to spend money on free agency, at least on big name players this year. I mean, it just obviously looks that way, right? I mean, I could be totally wrong, but they haven't given us any indication so far that they're willing to spend money. Obviously, unless they're taking bad contracts for whatever reason. Maybe they'll flip Donaldson too. I don't know. Maybe there's a team out there stupid enough to take him, and then, you know, I guess we'll have to pay some of his deal for the next 2 years. I don't know what the hell they're doing. I mean, I'm as confused as you guys are, and right now we're trying to all make sense of it and just throw shit against the wall and see what sticks, because you look at this team the way it is now and you're like, there's no fucking way they're going to battle with this team. And yes, I believe they can use another starting pitcher. And we've talked about this before. Severino is not throwing 200 innings this year. And you hope that he can make it throughout the whole season. That's still a big if. I know they're not going to have restrictions on him, but They're not going to let him throw 200. He's not going to make every start this year. They would be foolish to do so, especially with an expanded playoffs. You need him fresh. You know, Montgomery is Montgomery. Herman is Herman. You know, Cole, I hope, is back to being, you know, Ace Cole. But without the, you know, the tick, the tack shit, what do we know? Because he was good at times, and then other times he wasn't so good. And that's a lot of money tied up in somebody who's not an ace, and we need him to be an ace. You know, they can use another pitcher. And maybe there's more moves to make. Maybe there's something that just comes out of nowhere that none of us saw coming. Because I want to trust Cashman. I do. I really want to trust Cashman. And there's been plenty of times, you know, when he pulls out a move and you're like, what the fuck? And it worked. And then there's a few times where it didn't work, like a Sonny Gray. You know, but he's not going anywhere. So we do kind of have to trust him. So that's pretty much it. You know, we'll see what happens. It's been a crazy day and a half, I guess. Well, full day, at least from this. We're all still kind of a little shocked, angry. Maybe some of us are starting to just look at it because, at the end of the day, well, these guys are on the team right now, so now we have to look forward to what they can do for the team and not be angry about, you know, who we lost or why didn't we get a better haul or, well, why aren't we going after these guys? Well, as of right now, they're not on the team. We have to focus on who's here. So, you know, that's why Aaron Boone says these things, because you can't really comment on players and people who aren't there. You know this. I know it's frustrating. Believe me, there'll be plenty of time to pick on him during the year when he's sprouting out bullshit that, you know, will drive us crazy like he's been doing since he's been here. You know, I hope he yells at these players behind the scenes because, you know, when he's giving out the fucking cookie cutter lines, it's enough to drive me mad. So there'll be plenty of time to kill Boone later. But right now, what else is he going to say? You know it's the corporate speak. And what else is Cashman going to say? You know he's going to talk these guys up. He just traded for them. You know, he obviously believes that. So until the next domino falls, you know, this is the team right now. Is it enough? Absolutely not. We're lucky if we're the second wildcard team right now, the way it's going. Maybe they'll be better, but how much better? Are they a World Series winning team? I don't see it. Do you see it? And I'm optimistic, you know, about the Yankees every year. I look for ways to see how they can win. And right now, I don't see it because they really didn't change much. And the bottom of the lineup looks bad because you can see injuries there and bad play. So, still work to be done. You know, I hope Cashman isn't sleeping out in the streets. He's working the phones, getting shit done. Talking to Hal and say, hey, you know what? I may have to spend some money here. So, you know, this is what's going to happen. There's things to be done. There's work to be done. Today is over. Tomorrow's another day, unless something breaks in an hour like it did last night. But that's pretty much it. This is the team right now. This is the team in camp. This is who we go to war with right now, as is. Until tomorrow, we'll see what happens tomorrow. If something big happens tomorrow with the Yankees, I'll be back for another episode again. So we're going to end it there. And until then, you guys all have a good night. Give me a follow on Twitter at Savage Empire Pod. Subscribe wherever the hell you listen, wherever you get your pods from. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies. Shout it from the rooftops. And as always, go Yankees.
Thanks for listening to The Savage Empire. Subscribe and leave a comment wherever you listen. Follow us on Twitter @SavageEmpirePod. And of course, go Yankees!